Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace, celebrating 20 years of discipling others through Charis Bible College worldwide. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm into my fourth week of teaching on the subject of financial stewardship. And I tell you, this is just a powerful, powerful teaching. It's changed my life, and it has enabled me to be able to fulfill what God's called me to do. You know, it costs money to be on television and to build a Bible college and to do all the things we're doing. And if God hadn't shown me these truths about prosperity, I couldn't do what I'm doing. So it's important to me, and I believe it's likewise important to you. I know that there's people watching this program right now that you have more direction from God than you have provision. You have more vision than you've got provision. And that's frustrating. And I know that there's many of you that you just need a breakthrough in this area. You know, I had a prophecy come to me. I couldn't tell you how many years ago this was, but I bet you it's been 20 or 25 years ago. And the prophecy was basically that you are no longer going to think in terms of what can I afford to do, but you are going to completely ignore finances and get to the place that when God says something to you, the only thing that drives you and compels you is what does God want you to do? And I remember when that prophecy came, I thought that this is impossible. That's impossible because my entire life, I had had God give me a vision of doing things, and I was always having more vision than I had provision. And I can't say that I'm totally out of that yet, but I am saying that when we just built this $32 million project up in Woodland Park, it's just the first half of two buildings that the Lord showed me to build. And when I started this, we didn't have the money for it. But you know what? I didn't let that control me and dictate what we were going to do. I sat down and built basically what I felt the Lord was leading me to do and didn't consider money as the primary factor. Now, I mean, every way that we could, we tried to be a good steward and we cut corners. I know that I put a pillar in the basement in the lower floor of this thing that saved me over $1 million in construction. I didn't want that pillar there, but I thought for $1 million, I could live with it. Amen. So I'm not saying that we didn't, you know, try and be good stewards and think about the cost of things. We put up precast walls and things like this, save money where we could. But I got basically the building that I felt God was leading me to, and I agreed to it and committed to it before they even told me how much it was going to cost. Money is not the deciding factor. And I have really changed to where whatever it is that God tells me to do, that is the motivating factor. Now, I have to figure out how we're going to pay for it. And I'm not saying that, you know, I just have this unlimited amount of money and stuff. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that there was a time that my vision far outweighed my provision, and it was frustrating. And there are many of you watching this program that God has led you to do things, and yet you can't do what you feel God has put on your heart because there's a lack of finances. That is not the way that God intended it. Where God guides, He provides. And there is provision available, but there needs to be a number of things happen. A lot of them are on the inside of you. I can testify that when God spoke to me and gave me a revelation of these things, things changed. You know, on our program yesterday, I was talking about Pastor Dean Melton and how God used him to impact my life. And one of the ways that this happened was I had taken scriptures, and for 2 years, I had just been meditating on scriptures that talked about God supplying our needs, about there being an abundance to abound unto all good works and everything. And I took these scriptures and I was meditating on them. If you've heard my teaching on effortless change, this is one of the ways that the kingdom works. The Word of God is like a seed. And so if you want to harvest, you plant the seed of God's Word in your life. And I had done that for 2 years, but there was no visible outward change, no visible abundance or anything. But I had been planting the seed. So that was an important part of this process. But then I had Pastor Dean Melton come and speak at our church. And when he spoke at our church, I mean, not my church, my school, I took a yellow pad of paper and I was going to sit down and write down and gain revelation on whatever he was doing that caused him to prosper much greater than what I was prospering. And I sat there for 2 days. I think he taught 3 hours a day for 2 days in our Bible college. And I sat there and I never took a note. He never said one thing that I didn't already know. I already had the concepts. The information was there. And I don't really have the words to describe this, but he believed it in a way that I didn't. He had mixed faith. I had the information and the knowledge, but I was apologetic about it. I was bashful talking about money. And you know, even now, teaching on television, I know that there's just so much criticism that comes my way. There are people that watch my program and they receive very well until I get to talking about money. And now you're going to say you're just like everybody else. And you know, there's still a resistance and things that I have to overcome concerning this. But because of my fear of what other people thought, because of my past teaching that had been against prosperity, etc., I just hadn't committed myself. I had mixed faith with these truths the way that Pastor Dean had. And when I saw that, I mean, boom, all of these seeds that I'd been sowing for years into my life, they began to spring up. And things changed. And the reason I bring all this up is to say that at that time, this is back about 1995 or 96, at that time I was traveling and holding meetings primarily in churches, but sometimes I'd go into hotels and use their convention facilities. And I would bring one other speaker with me, and I would bring Charlie and Jill LeBlanc to do praise and worship with me. And my cost, by the time you paid all of the expenses of everybody who came, the hotel things, and gave honorariums to the people who came, it was usually right around $10,000 for a 3-day meeting. And prior to this time that I got the revelation on finances, I mean, my offerings from these meetings would be nearly $10,000 every time. Sometimes it'd be $9,995. I'd be $5 short, or I'd make $5 or $10 more than what the meeting cost. But it was just about break even every time. And in the long run, that wasn't bad because we would have new partners come on. And so over a period of time, they were all turning a profit and it was okay. But after the Lord spoke these things to me and I got the revelation that I'm sharing with you about financial stewardship, I went out and the very next week I held a meeting in Phoenix. It was the exact same thing, about $10,000 profit. I didn't do anything different. I didn't tell people that we've got a great need. I didn't try and draw money out of them. I didn't do anything outwardly different, but on the inside, I was now mixing the truths that I had heard with faith. And instead of getting $10,000 and breaking even, I got like, I think it was $25,000, over 2.5 times what I had ever received before. And it wasn't because I did something different outwardly. It's not because there was anything different. It was all inward. It was in my heart. You know, if you've listened to my teaching on taking the limits off of God, this is the exact same thing that happened way back in 2002 when the Lord showed me I was limiting Him by my small thinking. And before I could even put out a letter and let our mailing list know and tell them what the vision that God had given me, before there was anything physical that would have produced a response, my income just shot way up. And it wasn't because of anything in the natural, anything physical that was done. It was something that was internal. There was something in me that was limiting God. And I'm telling you, there are people watching this program right now that your stinking thinking about finances is hindering God blessing you and prospering you. And so you need to get this revelation and understand it, and it would make a difference. Even if there's nothing physical that you did different, it would change just when you get mixing faith with these things. That's huge, what I just said. And it's an intangible. Most people, because you can't quantify this, you can't tell when a person is truly believing something versus just saying it with their mouth. It's hard, it's subjective, it's hard to tell. But I'm telling you by personal testimony, my own testimony, that when I made the change in my heart, everything outwardly changed. And there's some of you that need this exact same thing. So I'm saying those things to encourage you to listen and receive these things that I'm sharing about finances. Even though there is a prejudice, even though there is an opposition against it, you need this revelation in order to be able to fulfill what God calls you to do. Look at this passage in Ephesians chapter 4, and in verse 28, it says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." This is another passage of Scripture that I'm using to show that true biblical prosperity isn't greedy. It's not selfish. It's not just about you getting things. It's about empowering you so that you can be a blessing, so that you can have enough provision to fulfill the vision that God has given you. So look at this again. It says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor." You know, the word, it says, "but rather," that's a contrast. In other words, if you aren't laboring and you're just living off of other people, it's comparing that to stealing. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that any person that doesn't have a job is just a loafer and mooching off of people. There are valid things. If if you're a housewife and your husband works, that's the way it was done traditionally forever, and you're raising the kids and governing the house and stuff, man, that is a full-time job. I'm not saying that that's loafing or something. I am totally against this thing that a woman can't feel like she's got any worth or value unless she has a career. I don't agree with that. I believe that there are valid times when a person has a physical problem or something and they cannot work. And I'm not saying that, if you are physically incapable of working, if you've been laid off of a job but you're trying to work, I'm not against any of those things. But I am saying that people that just live off of welfare and take advantage of everybody else, that's compared to stealing in this verse. I literally know that there are people that they go out and have children. They aren't married. They just have children. They have multiple children, and they get money from the government, and they use these children as a way to get their needs met and stuff. That's stealing. That is not what the Word of God teaches. It says over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 that if you don't work, don't eat. Now, there may be some extenuating circumstance. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about people who are just working the system and living off of welfare. The Bible compares that to stealing. And it says, don't steal anymore, but rather, in contrast to that, labor, working with his hands the thing which is good. And then it says, here's the reason that you do that you may have to give to him that needeth. Did you know if this wasn't written in Scripture, there's probably not a single person watching this program who would have come up with this as the reason you work. Most people would say the reason you work is so you can pay your bills, so you can pay your mortgage, so you can buy groceries, so that you can do those things that you have to do. Most people see that the reason you work is so that you can have your bills paid. In other words, the reason you work is to spend this money on you and the necessities that you have. And don't misunderstand me. I am not saying that we don't pay our bills. I just talked about that. It's not right to mooch off other people. We need to pay our own way. If you don't work, don't eat. That's what the Scripture says. So I am saying, yes, we are supposed to pay our bills, but that should not be the focus. The real focus should be you work and gain money so that, yes, you can pay your bills, but the focus is so that you can be a blessing, so that you can give to him that needs. That's what this verse is saying. The reason you work and labor with your hands is so that you can bless other people, not so that you can just be blessed, but so that you can bless other people. Now, what I've said right here, what this Scripture is saying, is so out of the context of most people that they just don't even relate to it. They just throw this aside and think this is foolishness. You can't live that way. But this is exactly what the Scripture is admonishing. Let me turn over and read another passage of Scripture. This is real familiar. Most of you know this. But in Matthew chapter 6, In verse 33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And the things that it's talking about, let me just turn back here and read some of these things that were in these previous verses. It says in verse 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment?" Now let me explain that this isn't saying that you don't think at all about this. This is talking about an anxious or a careful thought, a worried thought. Don't worry about it, is what it's saying. You know, if you want to eat, you have to think about what you're going to eat. If you're going to go to the grocery store, you've got to, you know, many times make a list so that you get all of the ingredients that you need to be able to cook supper and do things. This isn't saying that you don't think about it, but it's talking about don't worry about it. Don't take anxious thoughts about this. And it's talking about what you eat. And then it goes on to say in verse 26, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Aren't you worth more to God than a bird? There's some people today that don't think so, but the Bible says that you are. All of the animals on this planet are not as valuable to God as a person who was created in His image. And I can just hear tree huggers all around the world screaming about that, but I'm telling you, that is what the Bible teaches. We were created in His image. We have value and worth that no animal or all animals put together have. Now, that does not mean that you treat animals badly. That doesn't mean that you don't care about preserving and trying to keep animals from being extinct. But I'm just saying that you are worth more to God than a bird. That's what this verse is talking about. In verse 27, "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." Solomon was the richest man who has or will ever live on the earth, is what it says in Chronicles. And Solomon was filthy, stinking, dirty, rich. He had gold and silver. It said that gold was so plentiful that silver wasn't even valued in his day. They threw silver out on the street like a rock and just walked on it. Man, he operated in riches that none of us have even imagined, and it says that even a lily of the field is more beautiful and arrayed more gorgeously than Solomon. And if God takes that kind of care for a lily of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, won't He take care of you? And so it talked about what you ate. It talked about what you're clothed with, where you sleep. It goes on to say in verse 30, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, no anxious thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things." And then verse 33 that I quoted, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things." What are these things? What you eat, where you sleep, and what you're clothed with. In other words, your needs. This is saying the same thing that it was just saying over in Ephesians 4:28, that you labor and work with your hands, not so that you can just supply your needs, but so that you can have to give to him that needs. You put first the kingdom of God. You put first touching other people, using your finances to be a blessing to other people. And if you put God's kingdom first, God will take care of your kingdom. He will supply all of these things as byproducts, not as the focus, not as the goal. I tell you, this is powerful. And this just goes right over the heads of most people. Most people totally miss what I'm talking about. This is so off the page for them. It's like it's in a different book. It's like people can't even comprehend this. But the Lord is saying you can get to a place that you never even consider your own needs. You consider first the kingdom of God, and you put God and ministering for God to other people first, and if you would do that, God would take care of you better than you ever took care of yourself. But see, the average person puts first, the reason they work and get all of this money is to take care of their needs. And I've had thousands of people tell me that, hey, I'd be glad to give and help you go on the television and reach people and do all of these things, but I just don't have it. What they mean is that they are putting first their needs. If I had any extra, I'd be glad to give. I want to give. I just read a letter in the last 30 minutes where somebody says, I wished I had money to send and to help you. And I'm not critical of this person. They can do whatever they feel God wants them to do. But I can guarantee you they have money. It's not that we don't have money. It's the priority. Most people put the priority on ourself first. People say, I'd tithe, but I just don't have it. No, what you mean is you've used the money that you got first and foremost for yourself. And after you pay everything you want to pay, you don't have anything left to give a tithe. This is the reason the Bible calls it over in Proverbs chapter 11, Proverbs chapter 3, other places, it calls it a first fruit. In other words, you give to God first, not after you've paid everything you want to pay and indulged everything and bought all of the little gadgets that you want, you give God what's left over. No, you give Him the first fruit, not the last fruit. And see, if we would do that, if we would seek first the kingdom of God, God would take care of meeting your needs. And God is El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. God would take care of your needs better than you ever took care of them. You know, I had a man that for years bought me brand new cars. He would make the payments on the cars. He didn't just give me all the money, but I'd go buy the car and he would make all my payments. And he bought me nice cars. The very first one that he bought me was a Suburban. It's when our kids were still at home. We needed a four-wheel drive to get up our steep driveway. He bought me a Suburban, and not any Suburban. He bought me one that was tripped out. I mean, this thing had everything on it that you could have. It had these interior lights. I wouldn't have ever bought it for myself. He bought it for me. I remember one time going someplace and people saw that and they said, wow, look at this car. What kind of job do you have? And I told them I was a preacher, and immediately they were offended, like a preacher shouldn't be driving this nice of a car. But it was a gift. It was given to me. The point that I'm making is I was putting first the kingdom of God, and God was treating me better, buying me better vehicles than I would have bought myself. This is what these scriptures are saying. If we would put God's kingdom first, and if we would give first to God, not leftover after we've put ourselves first and all of our desires, if we would put God first and do it with a pure heart, with the right attitude, I can guarantee you that God will take care of you better than you would take care of yourself. This same man who bought these cars for me, I kind of told him about it was embarrassing sometimes, and he told me, he says, if you aren't embarrassed over your level of prosperity, God's not your source. Okay, today is our second construction update, and it is our first day of classes. And I tell you, it was awesome. So we are now standing here in the construction, and behind me, you can see that they are beginning to already pour some of the foundation, where on this side, right behind me, there is a curved part of the building, and it goes up about 2.5 or 3 stories. Over on the north side of the building, we are going to put in a 1,000 car park. Also over on the other side of the building, we're putting in a shop. And this is where we're going to be able to house our equipment. Right here where I'm standing, this is where the two buildings will connect. This is a grand staircase that will go upstairs and then downstairs to the basement, and it will connect over to the bottom floor. If you want to be a part of this and keep this construction going, which I really feel that's what God wants us to do, that would be the best, then we need an influx of about, I'd say, probably $6 million within the next 4 to 5 months maximum. God is doing some great things. It's not about building. It's not any of this. It's about changed lives. I wish you could have been in our opening rally today. and have seen the people's lives that have been changed already, and the testimonies, it's just tremendous. What we're doing is investing in people. This is a tool to enable us to reach deeper with the gospel than we've ever reached before. And so I'm excited about it, and I just pray that you are too, that you'll join with me. And together, I believe we're going to get this done without delay.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Financial Stewardship is available in book form in either English or Spanish for a gift of any amount when you contact us. Or you can get the book as part of the Prosperity Package. This package includes the Financial Stewardship series on your choice of CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program, the book, the Financial Stewardship Study Guide, and the Financial Breakthroughs DVD. This DVD includes 6 true stories that could change your financial future and help you experience the freedom of turning your finances over to God. The entire package has a catalog value of $115, but today you can get the Prosperity Package for a gift of $85 or more. Make sure to specify the CD or DVD when you order. Go to awmi.net and click on today's TV offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The 4th audio teaching in today's series is titled Prosperity Isn't Selfish. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this 4th CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. The lines are busy. Remember, you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
Oh, hello, I didn't hear you come in. I'm Daniel Amstutz, the Director of Worship and Artistic Productions here at Charis Bible College. I want to invite you to an experience that is going to be amazing. 3 consecutive weekends of dinner theater. We are going to be having a fine dining experience and 3 separate shows called An Evening in December. Go to our webpage, christmasatcharis.com, for more information.